Hey, this is Vanessa.
This is Carlos.
And you're listening to Retro Ad Review. This is a podcast where we select a couple of random old TV commercials and review them.
So if you like commercials, listen in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Retro Ad Review.
Hi, everybody.
So today we bring you more commercials to listen to and watch if you are on your computers. But if you're not on your computers, on your phone, you can look at it later.
If you dare.
So what are we listening to? What are we watching today? What commercials are we watching?
We are watching commercials that they're parody songs of a film song with the actual people who made them doing the parody.
That's convoluted.
Bit of a mouthful, but yeah, it seems like natural enough. It's like, I wrote the song, I'm parodying my own song.
I think it'll make sense. And all the songs in these parody songs were in movies. Is that right?
Yeah.
So there's like a layering system here. It's like, it's not just a parody song. It was like a song that was featured in a film.
A movie parody song by the original guy.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on here, but just know that commercials were like, we should just hack people's attention by playing a song that they already know.
That they like.
So, yeah, I know.
Cool
I can.
Whip.
I can.
That's the one that always
I always just think of Cool Whip, but I don't know why.
So stupid.
Okay, so let's kick off with the first one. If you would like to watch or listen to the first one, you can go onto YouTube. And you might be familiar with the song. It's Coke's Thirst Buster, 1985, with Ray Parker Jr.
Can you guess what song?
Thirst Buster! When you're coming first, with a real big thirst, who you gonna call? Thirst Buster! Come and taste this real, supernatural deal. Oh, who you gonna call?
New 3-liter Coke, the Thirst Buster, the biggest bottle of Coke around. Hey, you don't want to run out of Coca-Cola. Get Thirst Buster and save.
I ain't afraid of no thirst.
We gonna call Thirst Buster.
That was cool.
It's a weird commercial.
Yeah.
It feels, I don't know how it feels. Like, it obviously feels like 80s or whatever because it's of that time. But it also just feels a bit...
He has sold out everything.
Yeah. It just feels kind of silly. Anyway, the commercial itself stars Ray Parker Jr. of Ghostbusters fame. Well, Ghostbusters the song fame. Is he in the movie at all? No, right?
No, he's in the music video and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So for those of you who haven't seen this commercial, probably heard it. Basically, the commercial is just really neon colors of like showing Coke, like a Coca-Cola bottle. And it has Ray Parker Jr. singing in front of a microphone in front of, I mean, to us. And he's singing Thirst Busters, which is a play on Ghostbusters.
It's like in a blue background with neon pink lighting.
It's almost like he's in a booth, like a recording booth or whatever. So he's just kind of singing the song.
Yeah. And I just realized that the thing in front of his face is the microphone.
Yeah, that's...
It's like a Y circle tube that he's singing.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But anyway, the whole point is that he's in this kind of location, like a fake location, like a green screen location, where it's got like neon colors around a Coca-Cola, and it looks like he's kind of singing in a booth, so he's singing at us. And every now and then it's kind of cut with shots of people doing things, like dancing... some guy running.
Runner.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to bust my thirst with like a Coke.
I have never felt Coke as a thirst quencher.
After activities. Yeah.
Like maybe if I'm swimming and it's cold, it's like, okay, maybe.
Yeah, it's more of a thirst quencher for like, I'm eating a pizza.
Yeah, something like
but
that.
Not like I've just done strenuous exercise. I really need this Coke. I feel a bit sick thinking about it.
Yeah. Unless it's super hot.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Yeah. It's like the Keanu Reeves thing. He's on a bike for like 12 miles and he's like, "Oh, a Coke."
Yeah. Coke seemed to really have a thing. I'm not sure if this is the case anymore. I don't think
it is. I guess because it's gaseous. It's like, bleh.
Yeah, I feel like Coke had this thing where it always tried to associate itself with like exercise or something, like very lightly. But like, for instance, the Running Man, the Keanu Reeves commercial that we watched, all these seem to have like something with that. But like, no, no one drinks Coke after like running 5 miles.
Yeah.
Anyway, the commercial is pretty much just that. And it shows some people like going.
My favorite part of the commercial, though, is that it shows new 3 liter, which sounds kind of insane, even though we drink 2 liters all the time. But it shows the giant 3 liter Coke bottle on a conveyor belt and empty glasses to the left. And as it goes through the ghost of the new 3 liter Coke bottle, the glasses are filled with the Coke. I just put that together. It's a ghost.
Yeah,
Coke.
I think so. It's odd. It's oddly put together and it just kind of ends with Coke.
It seems like it's slapdashedly put together. It's like, here, Ray, go in the booth. We'll add the rest.
Yeah. I also feel like the music is really weird. The music is weird, too. It's just a weird one. It's a weird commercial. It's like not actually weird, as in like, it's not the Skittles Little Man or anything like that. It's or Starbucks, whatever it was. Berries and cream type of weird, or John Cena popping out of a toilet. Like it's just odd. It's just kind of like
it isn't 2000s weird. It's very stupid weird.
It's not deliberately weird. It's not trying to be weird. It's just kind of an odd commercial. Like it's just odd.
Yeah, it just comes off weird.
But anyway, that's Coke giving us odd commercials.
Yeah. That's this commercial. All right. So this was for the product Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is a well-known brand of soda. We're not going too much into the other things because we have to do a song, a movie, and a product. So we're focusing on the song. So it's kind of rushed through the other stuff.
We've done enough Coke commercials.
Coca-Cola is a well-known brand of soda. It's the largest soda company ever. It started from a poor Confederate soldier who was stabbed through the stomach with a saber and then tried to find relief. And it eventually ended up as kids drinking it after running track.
Sorry, just the idea of like, I need some sweet relief from this stabbing. Why not a Coke? They should have done a commercial for that.
I need some sweet cocaine.
It's not just a thirst quencher.
Yeah, it's just nuts how this there's like dark history throughout the history of this product.
Wait, was he a Civil War soldier?
Yeah, he's like a Confederate and they got stabbed.
He's a Confederate? Yeah. Oh no. This is from like Georgia. Well, I guess it's from Atlanta,
Georgia.
I didn't think of that.
But this is a staple of everyone's childhood. I mean, the Bears. I loved the Bears when I was a kid. I think you even got a plushie of the Bear, right?
No, I didn't have a plushie. I wanted one. I had a pen. I got a pen that got used by a bunch of idiots.
And at this point, they were making the new 3 liter.
3 liter, Jesus.
You need that much more sugar. And then a little bit later, shockingly, they made the 4 liter.
Coke in the new 4 liter bottle.
Which is just 2 of the regular 2 liters.
Why not just do a deal for buying 2 bottles of Coke?
Yeah, exactly. I guess you're not using as much plastic, maybe.
That's definitely not the thinking in the 80s. But also, like, it goes flatter faster. Maybe that's the point. They're like, okay, people will buy this big one, and they'll have to buy more of it because it keeps just going flat. And then they realize people just buy 2 bottles.
It's like the Fruity Pebbles of soda bottling.
I thought, I didn't realize it in the commercial. I didn't really think of the 3 liter, but when I first saw the image of the Coke in the ad, I was like, the bottle looks weird. Like, it looked kind of different, and makes sense.
It's bigger.
Well, the bottom was flat. It's not got, like, that kind of 4-leg stand. It's just, like, a flat bottom.
Probably because it couldn't stand up if it's that big. All right, so the film they were advertising, obviously, that's just blatant right there, was Ghostbusters.
Wait. Was the ad marketing Ghostbusters?
Well, it was definitely tied to it.
Yeah, but you know how some of them use, like I was saying, like the hack of an old song?
Yeah, but...
Is this actually part of the Ghostbusters campaign?
I don't know if it's part of that campaign, but it's definitely part of the Ghostbusters universe.
All right, whatever.
But I wouldn't doubt that it was, because this thing, Ghostbusters, was hugely popular. Ghostbusters released in 1984. It was the product of Dan Aykroyd. He initially wanted to be him and John Belushi, the Blues Brothers, doing supernatural adventures. But then Belushi's unfortunate death stopped that production, and he was like, maybe I probably couldn't have done it anyway. Let's ground it more in reality and get Harold Ramis to rework it.
Yeah, wasn't it that they were like in space, or like kind of like ghost cops or something weird like that? It was like a really wacky concept. It wasn't just like what the movie actually is now.
Yeah, something with it. Yeah. It's like, how does that work in Hollywood? I just have this in my brain and I'll write it down. Do you want to work this for me?
Well, Dan Aykroyd was already super popular, so he probably had an easy in to just be like, I have a weird idea. They're like, all right, let's hear it.
The movie was phenomenal and it became a phenom. It made $295 million, a $25 million budget, and it was the second highest grossing film of 1984. It was one of the first comedies to use considerable special effects, like the
Ghosts.
Building and Slimer and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, he's good. $295 million.
I mean, if you want to go deeper into the Ghostbusters behind the scenes, we could have done like so much with it.
Yeah.
But we want to keep it a bit close.
Everyone knows about Ghostbusters, and there are people that have done better reviews.
But this thing is huge, and it is pretty good, I would say. I think I liked it a lot.
It's an enjoyable film.
Though it was a bit younger, so the first one I got exposed to was the second one.
Oh yeah, Vigo. I really liked that one. I think I just really liked the pink slime.
Yeah.
It looked fun.
An important point, it was distributed by Columbia Pictures, which will become important later. And any good memories about the Ghostbusters? I remember the cartoon show. Except for the Slimer episode. Yeah, I hated that.
The real Ghostbusters? Or Ghostbusters with the gorilla?
The real Ghostbusters.
And Lorenzo
they
Music.
Have to have that distinction because the Filmation one was garbage.
Does it have like a monkey on it?
The Filmation one was a sequel to the live action one they had in like the 60s or something.
I didn't even know that was live action.
The cartoon one, their sons took over the ghostbusting business and the gorilla. The gorilla was
just in case no one understands what we're talking about. Just in case no one understands what we're talking about, there was a cartoon show in the 80s, 90s called The Real Ghostbusters, which was the cartoon based off the Ghostbusters movie that we're talking about with Dan Aykroyd and stuff.
Yeah.
The cartoon couldn't be called Ghostbusters because there's already a show, cartoon called Ghostbusters, yeah, which had like a giant ape in it. And I guess there was a movie in the 60s about it.
No, the show was from the 60s or 70s called Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's
I think
what I said.
They had the rights. And then the Ghostbuster had to make the real Ghostbusters. And I think after that is when they made the second Ghostbusters cartoon.
There's a second
sequel to their live action.
Oh, so that came after.
The live action Filmation one. Then they made the sequel in the 80s. It was like their sons took over with their gorilla partner.
All right. Well, whatever. I don't know. It was bad. And the cartoon one, the cartoon real Ghostbusters was good.
So to distinguish it, and because they had the rights, they had to call it The Real Ghostbusters for the Ghostbusters movie.
It's kind of like on social media when like someone's taking the name of like some celebrity, like I don't know, Britney Spears, and then she has to put The Real Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Someone took it a while or something. It's that kind of thing. Anyway, Ghostbusters was fun. It was a fun movie.
No, I know what you're saying. The production on the Ghostbusters was pretty strained, and they had to crunch it, and cost and time were limited, so the producers had to find a song fast. They initially wanted Lindsey Buckingham to write the song.
Fleetwood Mac, and what fame was it? What's his name who did him on SNL?
What up with that SNL fame?
What was his name? Bill Hader. He just doesn't even talk. But anyway. Bill. He just laughs. He just laughs the whole time. No, it's because, like, what's up with that? And he points to Lindsey Buckingham, and then Lindsey Buckingham just laughs.
No, he's upset because he's not a guest. He's not interviewed. And then he's like, come on, Lindsey. Don't be that way. And then he smiles.
Yeah, that's right. And then Lindsey's like, ah. What's up with that was a really good sequence. I don't know why. I enjoyed it. Anyway, Lindsey Buckingham is a real person.
They initially wanted Lindsey Buckingham to write the song after his hit soundtrack song, Holiday Road, for the Vacation series.
That's a good song.
And yeah, I do like that song. Harold Ramis had asked him to write Holiday Road for the Vacation series.
So Harold Ramis was involved in the Vacation series?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Buckingham declined, and it was allegedly because he did not want to be considered a soundtrack musician. A few others were approached and sent in songs, about over 60, and they didn't like any of them.
That's amazing. That's a lot of songs.
After about 60 and that much of a time crunch, I'd be like, just pick one out of a hat. Like, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's just like one of these is fine. That's insane.
Yeah. While he was working on New Edition's
Bobby Brown.
Mr. Telephone Man. Bobby Brown. Oh, yeah. And semi-retiring to take care of his sick parents, session guitarist Ray Parker Jr. was asked by a friend at Columbia Pictures to write the theme for the film. But Arista Records' Clive Davis had to be convinced because Parker usually sang romantic songs. So like, how are you going to go singing two girls to singing two ghosts? I don't get it. And they were like, do you get money? They told them the movie would be a hit.
Do you like money?
Like Bill Murray and stuff. And Parker only had 2.5 days to write the song.
That's also crazy. That's crazy.
He said, thankfully, it just all came together, except for the crucial thing. Director Ivan Reitman wanted the term Ghostbusters in the song, but Parker was having trouble with that because it was like, what rhymes with Ghostbusters? How does it flow into anything?
That's true. I've never thought of that.
So he was sent a print of the movie, and there was a scene where they pitched their service in an infomercial. We're ready to believe you. Parker thought of the phrase, who are you going to call? Based off other infomercials. Parker played most of the instruments, and the backup singers were friends of his girlfriend.
This actually sounds kind of jerkish because it's like they had 60 songs to choose from. And then they're like, Ray Parker, do everything. Write the song. Stuff this word in here. Yeah. That's like a difficult word. And play every instrument. And then, I don't know, get some friends to sing. Do whatever it takes. You have 2 days.
What? You have 60 hours.
I mean, good thing it worked out for him. But Jesus.
Yeah. And it worked out well for them, too, because it was a big hit. It allegedly gave the movie, like, $20 million more dollars.
What? How?
Some people, like, adjusted the, you know, the bean counter people were like, hey, according to this, it probably gave a little more boost to this
right,
thing
okay, yeah.
making more
it
money.
Is, it-
because this thing was all over the place.
It's an iconic song. It's...
Yes, it is.
So who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Plays every Halloween.
Yeah, it does.
It was supposed to be a short clip at the beginning of the film where they go to the haunted New York library. I always like that part in the movie. It's like,
me too.
They were like, the two guys were excited, like, oh my gosh, a classic book stacking. And then the other guy's like, yes, a normal human can't stack books like this. And then they meet that scary library ghost.
The library ghost is scary. Is this during the time when it was still, like, gross New York?
I think so. The 80s okay. still had, like, the problems.
Yeah, I kind of think of New York being a little gross.
Not as bad as, like, when they made, like, Taxi Driver or something.
I still think of it being kind of grossish. Just when I was thinking, like, my brain remembers the library scene right before it shows the library. And it just looks kind of bleh.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be a short clip at the beginning of the film, but it was later turned into a 4-minute track at the of director Ivan Reitman.
That's a really long song.
He's like, hey, should have been Do it quadruple.
Should have been 2 minutes at most. Jesus.
Thanks, buddies. It became a hit, reaching number one 2 months after the movie was out, and stayed there for 3 weeks.
That must have been nice for Ray Parker. And then he went back to playing songs for New Edition.
But it also stayed in our hearts for the rest of it. The video was directed by Ivan Reitman. The music video, playing to his strengths, was Parker hunting a sexy lady. And she needs to call them. He's like in her mirror and under her bed. His invisible man under your bed. And it's like he's stalking this woman as a ghost. And then she needs to call the Ghostbusters.
It's a problematic video.
It's a problematic video that wouldn't play today because he's a ghost.
I mean, that's what ghosts do, so.
Every time I think of ghost sex, I always think of that scene from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's not right. There were
Why would you put that in there? I wonder what went through his head. He's like, should we put that in the thing?
The weird thing about it is like, it feels like, much like a lot of those 80s movies, there are a lot of 80s movies that were big for kids. Then you look at it, you're like, this isn't like even hidden like adult innuendo about things. This is like straight up, this is very adult. Do you know, it's really weird. It's kind of like.
Yeah, I know what you
it's
mean.
It's very strange. I look at that.
Several celebrity cameos appear, and they appear for free as a favor to Reitman. A lot of them were from SNL.
That makes sense.
Because they had the pull to bring them in. I was like, yeah, for free. And that's why in the commercial, you have a bunch of like inserts of people going, First Buster!
Right, okay. Yeah, it's the other. That's the other thing about the commercial, I guess. It's kind of playing off of the music video.
They had like Danny DeVito and Chevy Chase and stuff like that. Parker almost won an Oscar for Best Original Song, but lost to his mentor, Stevie Wonder, for I Just Called to Say I Love You.
I love you. Funnily enough, so there's kind of like a thread there where Ray Parker Jr. wrote this song for Ghostbusters 1, and he was working on New Edition's other song at the time. And then for the second movie, the big song, which I thought was probably the coolest song ever made outside of Never Ending Stories song, was by Bobby Brown.
Yeah,
that's such a good song.
They got Bobby Brown to play that. I remember that was like one of the first film songs.
Yeah, I really like that. I still like that song.
But I was like 4 or something. I was like pretty young too.
It's such a good song. It's like, this is what cool sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like drum machines. All right. It became a popular culture phenomenon. And like I said, it was said to make the movie more profitable. As the bean counters. The movie was the second highest grossing film in 1984 behind Beverly Hills Cop, which also had a cool theme song, Axel F.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know that song. I've never seen Beverly Hills Cop. I've only ever seen like one Eddie Murphy film outside of, I don't know, Shrek or whatever. I did see The Nutty Professor, but the ones where it established like Eddie Murphy's like this big superstar. I think I've seen Coming to America. That's it. And I saw that like 4 years ago.
I know every Eddie Murphy movie you see has like 3 Eddie Murphys. Coke used it in its 3-liter Thirst Buster campaign. And as I said before, they
pushed their luck and made
another liter, which after that you die. They had various versions of this. One of them has him with other like video toaster looking things pop out. It's like, if you want to save your money, and money flies around. You want to make a splash? You want to watch your cash? Who you gonna call? At the end, one of the bigger cameos was Bill Cosby.
Woohoo.
As he was, other than being Cliff Huxtable in the
Cosby's,
in the Cosby Show, he was pretty much a spokesman for everything. For me, as a kid, he was Jell-O pudding pop man.
Fat-free Jell-O pudding.
Kodak, everything. And at this time, he was a spokesman for Coke.
Meanwhile, Pepsi had like Michael Jackson.
And he was said to have actually killed the Pepsi challenge. Hey, you like Pepsi or Coke? And they chose Pepsi. He's the one that said his weight just killed it. And he was at the end of this music video. But his star has faded for reasons. One person who didn't like this popular culture phenom song was a man named Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis and the News.
Huey Lewis and the News.
He claimed it plagiarized... Yeah, he worked for the news and he didn't like... He claimed it plagiarized his song, I Want a New Drug. New Drug was actually part of the temporary score, so they could work around like that.
Oh.
And there was an undisclosed settlement and a confidentiality agreement against speaking about it. He sued Columbia Pictures, and Ray Parker Jr. was just kind of named in it because he wrote the song. Lewis broke the confidentiality agreement and said on VH1's Behind the Music that Parker plagiarized the song. Parker sued Lewis because Parker Lewis can't lose, just kidding, for the breach. And according to Lewis, Parker won from Lewis $30,000.
Take that.
I was like, wow, that sucks. Take that, Heart of Rock and Roll, Power of Love.
It's a good song, too.
It is. Yeah. I think it was the next year that happened. Oh, yeah, 1985.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
It is, yeah, it's popular culture stable. It was used and remade and parodied throughout the film. Everyone likes it, except for the Fall Out Boy version in 2016.
Ew, what? Oh, when they did the girl Ghostbusters or whatever?
Yeah.
Ugh, not the girl Ghostbusters. I don't care about that. Just, I hate Fall Out Boy.
And Parker said he doesn't mind being pigeonholed as the Ghostbusters guy because it still makes him a lot of money and he loves what it brought him.
That's kind of nice. And it sort of makes, like, I think they've just come out with a new Ghostbusters. I mean, like, they should really stop it. But, I mean, I would suspect Ray Parker.
The
Freeze,
Ice Kingdom?
Freeze Island or something weird like that. Frozen World. I don't know.
Frozen Wasteland.
It's like it's almost like the Jurassic Park movies where it's like Jurassic World 3, Dinosaur Island. I don't know. Like, yeah, like where you're just like, I don't know which one this is.
Mutation. And then he grows like a human brain or something. It's like, oh,
no, that's Gremlins 2.
Owen Grady or whatever.
But Ray Parker Jr. must be thrilled every time a new Ghostbusters comes out. He's like, I don't care how it performs, my song's probably going to play.
Yeah, even with the Fall Out Boy one, he was like, oh, yeah, it's interesting.
He's kind of like, it's trying to be nice. Fine. Yeah, Ray Parker sounds all right.
I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to insult him. All right, so transitioning to caffeine, what is the next caffeine?
So the next commercial is around a song, around another 80s song, actually. Actually, all the songs we've chosen are like 80s songs.
80s movie songs.
Okay. Well, that was
That's another thread.
Yeah, 80 movie songs. So we're just going to jump into it. The next one, if you want to watch, is called Starbucks Glen Survivor commercial. Ah. Anyway, whatever. Just listen to it.
Double shot espresso drink. Bring on the day.
Roy.
That was funny.
The end of the... I actually quite like the end of the commercial because it's not unexpected, but it's a nice little treat, I think.
Yeah, they just compared to follow the, other people.
It's okay, so this falls into a little bit of a cringe category for me. I watched this and I was like, oh. I think that's why I liked the end because I'm like, this, yeah, it's cute.
It's cute cringe.
It's yeah, like, yeah, it's lighthearted. It's
lighthearted. You know that we're having fun. Other than when it's earnest and cringe, it's like, oh, I feel bad. But...
What year was this commercial? Must have been like
2004.
Wow. I mean, Glenn's hair, don't get me wrong. Glenn's hair looks like it's from 2004. He's got like a shaggy cut that is not acceptable in the office.
But it's basically a average little guy named Glenn. He starts off his boring day in the refrigerator. And it's pounding, Glenn, 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 Glenn. He takes a shot of double shot.
Starbucks double shot.
And Reviver appears in his very,
very boring apartment.
Not very decorated house. Glenn's a little confused. He's going about his day, shaving and everything. And then they're just following him around all his day at work. And you can see a little smile across his face as they go. They follow him around the bus. And they're just basically, like in the Rocky movie, they're describing everything about him. They're like, hey, he's just a little guy. He's the master of his cubicle. But one day, he's going to rise from the little thing to go to middle management supervisor.
Supervisor.
Because he's just, that's super good. And then they get off the elevator. Glenn goes to work, and then they start harassing a guy named Roy.
Roy! Roy, Roy, Roy. So that part's good. I like that. That's a good little bit. So they're just following multiple white-collar workers, trying to gas them up.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this is a Starbucks commercial with Survivor, with Eye of the Tiger song. So, you know, this is the triple layer scenario here. So much like Coke, Starbucks is one of those brands that you just can't avoid. Actually, you can avoid it a bit more than Coke. Coke is just completely unavoidable.
Yeah, you're not going to see Starbucks at kids' parties.
Maybe, depending on when the parents arrive. Here, kids. It's like 10 a.m. 10 a.m. It's like 9 a.m. and they're like, I have like four coffees.
You give the kids the double shot espresso and then the kids are going to run for like 5 hours.
They already suffer when it comes to like one, like half Coke. It's just mental. Anyway, Starbucks, the world's largest coffee house chain. So it's like everybody knows it. Just crap coffee or not, you're probably going to drink it at some point or have had it. It was founded by Jerry Baldwin, Zev Siegel, and Gordon Bowker in 1971. But by 1987, they sold it to the former director of marketing, Howard Schultz.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, he's the guy who owns Starbucks.
He's like vaguely well-known, one of those vaguely well-known CEOs. Not everybody knows, but he's known enough.
Yeah, he's not Bill Gates, but he's like, people know who he is.
If you watch like CNBC or know about sports, you probably like tangentially know about him.
Yeah, and he was in the news a lot recently because they were trying to like unionize and stuff, and like Schultz kept on saying like, that's not bad.
He was like, that's bad.
It's like, shut up, Schultz. Schultz is credited with making Starbucks the juggernaut it is today.
Yeah.
It has over 35,000 stores in 80 countries and is one of the most well-known coffee chains.
I like the Simpsons joke where they said, it's like, hey, can I get an earring? He's like, okay, but you got to make it quick. It's becoming a Starbucks in 5 minutes.
And he leaves and he leaves with a little sparkly earring and a cup of Starbucks.
Earring and a Starbucks cup.
Yeah, so part of this layering process is this is the song in this is Eye of the Tiger, which was in Rocky 3. Fun fact, I think I've only seen one Rocky. I've never seen the first one. I've seen like the Russian one.
That's the best one. I watched them all in like a marathon one time. I was like, oh, these are pretty good.
So Rocky 3 is the third movie in the Rocky series. Ooh, released in 1982. In it, he fights up-and-comer Clubber Lang, who trains hard while Rocky cares more about celebrity. Like, Rocky's getting his head's getting too big, and he needs to be taken back down to earth.
He needs to be punched.
So, yeah, he needs to be knocked out. KO'd. They cast Mr. T in his breakout role after seeing him on the TV show Games People Play as America's toughest bouncer.
Imagine seeing him as the bouncer there. I mean, dang, you look crazy.
Rocky III is where his trademark "I pity the fool" phrase came from. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I don't know why. I just assumed he just had it or came from like the A-team or something.
Yeah, I just stuck with him.
Anyway, whatever. So Stallone got really fit for this and he got down to 2.6 body fat percentage, which is pretty intense.
Because he was already getting up there, so that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean...
he's like 36 or something.
Up there. Oh, no. But yeah, yeah, this it's harder in your 30s, late 30s to like have a body fat percentage of 2.6. And it wasn't for naught because the movie was a box office success. It was the fourth highest grossing film of 1982. But it didn't really get much good critical response, which is understandable. If you look at the original Rocky, it's much more grounded, and then the rest of these just become more 80s films, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Eye of the Tiger was written for Rocky III. Initially, Sylvester Stallone wanted to use the song Another One Bites the Dust by Queen, but they said no. Stallone's friend, Tony Scotti, not to be confused with Tony Scott, he was from the Scotti Brothers label, which was Survivor's label. The people who sing Eye of the Tiger.
The other brother is not Ridley.
So Tony helped bring Stallone in contact with Survivor for getting the song into Rocky III. Stallone said he wanted something street for the kids, mm-hmm. with some punch and a pulse, which is like quite prescriptive. He wanted it to match the punches of the opening monologue. So Survivor was sent a rough cut.
You have 2.5 days.
Survivor was sent a rough cut of the opening that had Another One Bites the Dust in it. And initially it was supposed to be called Survival, the song, but it was called Eye of the Tiger after a speech Apollo Creed gives in the film. Ah, RIP Apollo Creed.
For reals, not just the character.
Yeah, yeah. He just passed away, I think, like a month ago. So
what was that in the Arrested Development? Carl Weathers, and it just showed like a clip from Predator.
I only think of him as that. I just always say, you got a stew. I say that so much, but nobody knows what I mean. It's just, it comes into my head. Maybe you got a stew going.
I just like how they say Carl Weathers. They introduce him with like the Predator arm thing. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's really stupid. He did such a good job in that. He was very good.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
To go on off of the Apollo Creed tangent, Carl Weathers, Frankie Sullivan, the guitarist, was so broke he had to glue his guitar back together, and he used that on the song. So the brr, 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 that kind of stuff was from like a very broken guitar. Frank Stallone told Sullivan, Sly liked it a lot. Yeah, it's like there's a few names here that all sound the same. So Frank Stallone is Sylvester Stallone's brother, and he told Frankie Sullivan, the guitarist, that Sylvester Stallone liked it a lot. So he liked the song. He thought it was really good. Sly later said, however, that it lacked quote-unquote balls. So Sullivan turned it up one more decibel, and he liked it. It was a hit, and it stayed number one in the U.S. for 6 weeks. So three more than Ray Parker Jr.'s song. It got an Oscar and a Grammy nomination. And Survivor later returned to the Rocky series, Rocky IV, with Burning Heart, which I don't remember and I won't bother to look at.
I like that song.
I don't know. I watched that movie, but I don't know the song. Eye of the Tiger was also used as a theme for the 1986 revenge film, Eye of the Tiger, which was distributed through the Scotti Brothers Pictures. So the Scotti guys were like, let's just milk this song for all it's worth.
Gary Busey, Yaphet Kotto, Eye of the Tiger.
So to the commercial... Starbucks had an ad agency, Fallon New York, make the ads to show the power of the caffeinated double shot. Even small, boring people could get the motivation and energy to aspire to their dreams. And if your dream is to be a supervisor, you should drink Starbucks double shot.
Middle manager.
You want to be a middle manager? Just drink Starbucks. That's what it says, which just makes you feel really like, I don't know, the difference between Coke and this, it feels like Coke has like aspirations while Starbucks is like... You can work at your computer better.
With the middle class kind of people.
Is your dream to continue working at a computer real hard?
Yeah.
This is it. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah. You need caffeine, coffee.
No Coke. Coffee. The boring adults drink. So Starbucks, the ad agency, etc., they hired Survivor for the motivational song. So Frankie Sullivan worked on the new track, and his voice is the initial Glenn's. The ad got a standing ovation at the Pepsi Bottlers convention, and Starbucks presented the actual band to play. So It sounds really stupid, the Pepsi bottlers convention, and it got a standing ovation. But I think the standing ovation would be that, like, Survivor was there. It'd be like, oh, wow, Survivor's here. That's really fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would definitely, like, stand up and be like, wee, like, get infected with the enjoyment. But you wouldn't be like, what an ad. This is the best ad I've ever seen. Ah. And just throwing Pepsi bottles at the stage.
Well, maybe that's the most exciting thing they saw all day, because he bottles all day.
That's probably true. It's just a bunch of factory workers.
Yeah. Kind of going back to Eye of the Tiger, the 1986 film, it's so cool. It's like Gary Busey as a Vietnam vet.
That doesn't sound cool at all.
It's Walking Tall with Gary Busey fighting freaking bikers with a kit-like monster truck with missiles and stuff.
This sounds bad.
Insane and boring. It's insane and boring, and it's funny. He shoves dynamite up a guy's butt.
Oh,
but the
no.
guy dies of a heart attack.
Oh, that's unfortunate
up.
For the person who really wanted the dynamite bit to happen. When are they getting to the fireworks factory?
I don't know. It was just crazy. But yeah, I guess it sounds kind of like cheese sometimes. But yeah, sometimes I use Eye of the Tiger working out sometimes.
Yeah, no, loads of people do that. Loads of people do that.
It's a big workout. I also remember the song from when they brought back Joey Suzu. In like the 90s and 2000s, back to Isuzu, and they played a Survivor, and he was training to get back into that because he hadn't been there for like 20 years or whatever.
Hello?
Joe.
You ready to sell some trucks?
Yes. You still look the same, right?
No, yeah. I look exactly the same.
So yeah, it's a very nice song, nice movie. I'm okay-ish with Starbucks.
So the thing about Eye of the Tiger in comparison to like Ray Parker Jr.'s song is I've heard Ray Parker Jr.'s song once or twice on the radio. Eye of the Tiger is just like will forever play on the radio. Like it'll be included in like Spotify workout lists and yeah. stuff. Ray Parker Jr.'s song, nothing against Ray Parker, but it's like he's kind of lucky that they just keep trying to milk Ghostbusters because it's like, oh, it'll pop back up again.
Ghostbusters too much of a theme.
Meanwhile, Eye of the Tiger, if it didn't have Rocky, like obviously it wouldn't be as big, I suppose. I don't know, whatever. But you can still hear it on the radio. And every now and then you're like, this is good. This is enjoyable.
Yeah.
But anyway, we need to move on to the next one.
Yeah. So let's get on to the next one.
So the next one is also an 80s song featuring an 80s man.
But the commercial is 2010.
Yeah, so this is a more recent commercial. Not that reason. So if you want to watch it, for you international folk, you might be familiar with this. For the Americans listening or North Americans listening, you might not be familiar with this. So it's called Walker's Extra Crunchy Advert featuring Lionel Richie.
First you and me, share them together, extra crunchy. Save one for me. Share them together. New extra crunchy. Oh, share.
New thicker cut Walker's Extra Crunchy. Made for sharing. Share. Sometimes.
Share.
That's actually kind of a funny ad. I sort of like it. So it's got Lionel Richie in it. And I feel like he's reprising a little bit of his role in that Hello mm-hmm. from the Hello music video, just like kind of hovering over people enjoying themselves. So this commercial is a Walker's, like it's a chips commercial, crisps commercial. And it kicks mm-hmm. off with Lionel Richie. He looks like he's on stage or something, kind of introducing the song or singing the song because he's got like lights on him and stuff. And then it cuts him into various sequences where people are eating the Walker's Extra Crunchy Crisps. So he's like singing his song about sharing in front of a family, in front of two people on a bus that are sharing the crisps. And then some people in a park. So he's just everywhere. And then he ends up in the supermarket, the supermarché, and he's about to grabs a crisp quite rudely from a man's open bag. And that man, Gary Lineker, who is a famous footballer, soccer player in the world, I guess you could say. So he steals one of Gary Lineker's crisps and then he's about to eat it. And then Gary Lineker pushes him out of a window, out of the supermarket window, and takes his crystal.
Throws him.
Like just like pane glass breaking. Lionel Richie hits the floor, holding the crisp, and then Gary Lineker just takes the crisp back from him and walks away. And then two people try to help Lionel Richie up.
He has like such a satisfied smile on his face.
Yeah.
After takes the I assaulted this man.
And Lionel Richie is still singing, like talking about sharing, and two people are helping him look like kind of like, what the hell just happened? So it's a fun little commercial, actually. It's stupid. So there's that.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, and what is this thing? It is called Walker's Snack Food. It is a chip, or crisp, as they call it, manufactured in the UK and Ireland.
So they're like Lay's chips, but just Walker's.
Have you seen these?
I never saw this ad.
No, but the chips, crisps, whatever.
Oh, no, I don't think they make them anymore. I've never seen this crisp.
I would think they do.
It's kind of like, you know, I don't know, Surge. Like, stuff just disappears. It always comes back to Surge with me.
In 1948, a man named Henry Walker started it. After World War II, rationing made selling meat difficult because he first worked at a meat plant. And they're like, hey, give it to the soldiers. And the crisps were gaining popularity, so it was like, let me make money there. They were currently owned by PepsiCo. And I think PepsiCo owns the Frito-Lay brand, and I think Walker's is under the Frito-Lay brand because it has a very similar logo, like the circular sun potato and then the Walker across it.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. When they come from the States to the UK or Ireland or whatever, they're like, whoa, that looks the same. That's Lay's chips. They're also Keanu Reeves in my mind.
A Coke.
They are from Leicester, England, which I thought was pronounced Leicester. And Gary Lineker is also from the same place, and that's why they use him. And he's like, hey, my city's pride and joy. I will help them out.
Gary Lineker and Walker's are Leicester's pride and joy. He's been the spokesperson forever. I think he's still on them.
From 1995.
That's like a really long time. God, but I think that was like in Gary Lineker's highs as well. So like the man's everywhere.
And he scored again with that just cooked taste.
Don't you insist on Walker's crisps?
He's everywhere, but I haven't seen Walker's yet. Okay, so this was to promote, the song was made to promote the film White Nights. It's a film from 1985 about a defector from the Soviet Union named Kolya. He's played by famous dancer Mikhail Baryshnikov.
So weird.
Latvian man. And his KGB handler, played by tap dancer extraordinaire Gregory Hines.
That's so weird.
Defector to the Soviet Union.
So a traitor.
So Kolya defected from, and Hines' character Greenwood defected to the Soviet Union. A KGB officer wants them to dance at a function, and he uses Kolya's old love interest, Helen Mirren.
What?
There too. I think she's part Russian, right?
I don't know. This movie sounds bizarre.
But Greenwood finds out his wife, Isabella Rossellini,
what?
Is pregnant, and he then defects back to the Western powers.
What?
And they all try to make an escape for the consulate.
But spoiler alert.
But Greenwood is arrested. He is traded in a prisoner swap and meets up with all of them again. I gave you the whole plot, but I don't know. The name White Knights is because St. Petersburg, Leningrad, is right below the Arctic Circle. So the sun doesn't set for a while. And at midnight, you can still see the freaking sun. That would drive me insane.
Go away.
It had nominations for Best Original Song, Say You Say Me. And
say.
Original score. It won original song, but not score. The song, which one, was called Say You, Say Me. It was written for the film White Nights by Lionel Richie. Director Taylor Hackford asked Richie for a song for the film. But, like in Ghostbusters, he had to incorporate the title, White Nights. He was like, this is very hard for me. So he sent Say You, Say Me to them anyway. Hackford liked it. He liked it and he put it in the film, but he put it in during the credits, which I guess a lot of people heard if they stayed. It was not on the film's soundtrack as Motown Records wanted it to be on their label.
Don't steal this movie.
Like, hey, this guy's big. Don't put it there. It was released on Richie's 1986 album, Dancing on the Ceiling, instead. It was a hit. It was number one on R&B charts for 2 weeks, number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for 4 weeks, and number one on adult contemporary charts for 5 weeks in early 1986.
Wow, so what do we have here?
And I think the Billboard Hot 100 named it one of their best songs in one of their retrospectives.
I don't even really know the song that well, so I don't really get it.
I always hear it on the radio or like in internet stuff all the time now. It won an Oscar for Best Original Song, where it beat Phil Collins and Marilyn Martin's Separate Lives, which was from the same film.
Oh.
It got a Golden Globe for Best Original Song as well, an American Music Award, and a People's Choice Award. And wow, I didn't know how this song could be so big. It always seemed like a pretty like okay song to me, but like, whoa, it apparently won so much.
Well, Eye of the Tiger was in the top for 6 weeks, so.
Yeah, take that. But did it win all these things? It later appeared in re-releases in the White Nights soundtrack album, because Motown's like, yeah, fine. Abbott Mead Vickers BBDO, the ad agency, made the ads with Lionel Richie, who hadn't done a commercial in 30 years, but he read it and he said he loved the script and British humor. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of weird me just popping out doing all this stuff. I'll do it. And they had a nice little behind the scenes thing. It's kind of funny.
Lionel's been wonderful. He likes a lion. That's why they call him Lionel.
And sidetrack, I always remember this guy's name because his name is Lionel, and he always reminded me as a kid he looked like a lion.
That's why they call him Lionel.
Yeah, he kind of looks like
right?
the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. I thought he was the Beauty Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Like the live action one. Yeah, the Ron Perlman
Beast. All right, well, that's enough of Leicester, England's Walker's Frito-Lays.
With Gary Lineker.
And, we have wrapped up with Gary Linebacker from the soccer football. So that's all of our products and reviews. So now on to the review portion, are we not?
Yes. So that was all of the things.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Retro Ad Review. No, it's a review.
Yeah, so now we're going to go over the actual ads and how we felt about them. So what do we have? We have Coke, Thirstbusters. We have Glenn. And then we have Say What? What is it?
Say You, Say Me, Walker's Chips.
I don't know the song.
Share for Me.
Whatever. Well, we know which one's my least favorite. Actually, that's not true. All right. So of the commercials, which was your least favorite?
Let me see. I guess I'll go with Thirstbusters because it's super generic. It's a flashy recording booth with this guy dancing. He does that upward shoulder dance a lot. And then it's just the cheapest graphics with the ghost, a ghost Coke. 3 liter Coke that automatically fills up drinks, which is so stupid. And then just basically people going, Ferris Busters. It's okay.
I just don't know which one for me because, like, I guess I'll do the Ghostbusters one. It's just kind of, it's just a bit weird and it's very just overtly like, hey, we're cashing on Thirstbusters. Like, the other ones are overtly cashing on it, but there's like a slight twist to it. So I think this is just literally like, rather than saying Ghostbusters, we're saying Thirstbusters, which is just like... Yeah,
it just looks so stupid how he's like the weird.
It's like a cheapo version of of the music video. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Second.
My second would be, I guess Starbucks, because it's basically just a guy doing his day, and then these annoying people are following him.
So I think it's also the middle one for me as well. I don't know what it is, but I don't like that aesthetic, like the mid-2000s to late-2000s look of like American commercials where it was just boring looking.
There
like
was
everything
is an apartment.
Yeah, it was always a bit sterile, and I don't like that.
The best he had, the most flash other than the band, it was like an 80s band, that was his hair.
Yeah, and that hair sucked. So like, I think that one's the middle for me.
Like that raccoon head.
And that would have been the bottom one for me if it wasn't for Roy at the end, because it was pretty cringy to me watching it. I was just like, ugh. But then I like when they chase after Roy. I go, Roy, 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 Roy. That's enjoyable. I don't think I liked it as much as the Pepsi bottlers convention. I'll put it that way. But I do think it's better, broadly better, because they try to do something with it compared to Thirstbusters. So that means the number one for both of us.
I just imagine like what happens at the end of the commercial. One, the drummer can't get out as easily. And they're going to be like the people
that's true.
The annoying person at the party or whatever that you want to pawn off on other people, and they constantly get pawned off. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Cool.
The drummer's being
carted
around.
Friend here. I got to go do something else. And then that person does it to them too because they're annoying.
The drummer's carted around on like a little dolly or something.
Yeah,
that.
I know, but he's in the elevator. What's he going to do?
They're just going to cart him out again.
Okay, so.
So the number one for the both of us
is. Yeah, but
is
they're not going to catch up to Roy. Okay.
Walkers.
My number one would be Walkers, Texas Ranger. For me, it was just kind of dumb. It was like, okay, this singer man floating around talking to you to eat to share the chips, but it's for a very selfish purpose. It's for him. It's like, share with me.
I like
it. And for the thing that got it for me was the very end. It's like, okay, if he was just floating around and then he took the chip and ate it and it was like, ooh, Walker's really good, but freaking sports guy just takes this old singer dude and throws him out a freaking window.
I like it because
he's just so happy.
It's a bit like the middle one has a twist. I feel like this has the extra twist on there because the other one's just funny cool. Because it's like, oh, he's being chased around by like he's being whatever by the survivor guys. This one is kind of similar. It's like, oh, it's funny because Lionel Richie is singing his song kind of hovering over people. That's really weird. But then when he gets pushed out, it adds an extra level of stupidity to it. That's like it's stupid to begin with, and then it has that extra level. It's like, okay, that's enjoyable too.
Because I've seen a bunch of commercials like, ooh, the people just kind of sing their famous song and dance and stuff, and then but he just gets thrown out a window. I was like, okay, that was
unexpected. It's more just
it's
like
funny too.
Like it could have been very simply like, look at this, Lionel Richie's kind of hovering over people singing his song. Isn't that funny? And it is kind of funny because it's just like he's singing his version. He's just kind of there. He's kind of in these instances where he shouldn't be there, but it's kind of like, haha. Then they put the Gary Lineker throwing him out the thing was good. So
yeah, and both their reactions there to me were like,
Lionel Richie's reaction at the end was very good because he's kind of like, puzzled by what happened and still singing the share aspect of the song, just like share, share, share. So I liked it. Which of the three is your favorite song? Because that's a tough question.
What was it? Say You, Ghostbusters, and
Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, for me, it's between Eye of the Tiger and Ghost. I go with Eye of the Tiger because Ghostbusters is too a theme.
Yeah,
Full House theme or something, and the other one I was a kid and it was adult contemporary, so like I don't care if you're singing to your wife or girlfriend when I was like, whatever.
Yeah, I think same thing for me. I like Eye of the Tiger,
Soviet Russia, I guess.
Best out of the bunch. I was never a big fan of it, and I'm still not like this is the best song, but I do really like it. It's enjoyable. And yeah, you're right. Now, if it was this Ghostbusters 2 song, we'd be talking, be having a different conversation. But yeah, Ghostbusters is a little too like this is the song for Ghostbusters. So also, I really don't know the Say song, and I don't think I like it. It sounds boring.
And
to me.
Another thing is, like, whenever you say certain phrases for certain things that have captured that phrase, whenever someone says, who are you going to call? What is that?
Yeah, Maroonie.
Who are you going to call? Maroonie!
Lately, too. Right? It immediately leads to people be like, Kill
yeah. Him.
It's like, okay. It's so one of those things that I'm annoyed that happens, but I do it too sometimes.
Yeah. This is
like,
it.
I'm annoyed when it happens me, but I like to say it too.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones that feels a little like, yeah, I don't know. It has embedded itself very strongly into the culture, however long it's been.
Yeah.
So of the three commercials, based solely on the commercial, and I guess involving the song, because that's part of the commercial, which product would you buy?
Which products would I buy?
Just on the commercial.
Based solely on the commercial. So I guess I'd go with the chips too, because even though an annoying guy is asking me to share with him, it's like, yeah, I guess it's fun. We can share it. Then we're enjoying ourselves. These people harassing me when I want to go to work, or just some guy singing with ghost Coca-Cola's.
Ghostly vision.
Don't do it for me.
Yeah, I feel...
And just the product itself, 3 liters, I'd be like...
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's why I was saying base it on the commercial, because I just would not want to buy a 3 liter Coke. But I think the Walker's one's just the most interesting commercial. Yeah. It's kind of fun. And it shows me various instances of them eating the crisps, and it just kind of looks nice, like enjoyable. So... all of those things combined and it just being kind of fun, I think that's what would kind of be the thing that does it for me.
By all those powers combined,
it makes for me buying a product
or captain buy a product. Okay, so we already said our favorite song. What about our favorite movie of those?
I'd
go with Ghostbusters.
I haven't seen any of the others, and Ghostbusters already
White
I enjoy
Nights
a
is
lot.
Too dramatic, and Rocky 3. It's like Rocky 1 was the up and comer. Rocky 2 was how it was supposed to finish.
Adrian's Revenge.
And then Rocky 4 is when it went insane. Rocky 3 was like this middle ground of like, okay, but Mr. T was cool and charismatic and everything, but didn't quite fit. 4 is my favorite.
I think 4 is like everybody's favorite in a way, because I think that's when it went full blown 80s kind of cheese. So I think people were really like, this is great. This,
like a
this
guy
is amazing.
Like 3 feet bigger than
such
him.
Garbage.
He defeats the Cold War with
yeah, it's
gloves.
Dumb. It's not good.
Right. And a freaking robot.
There's a robot.
Okay, so Ghostbusters
oh, God.
Is my favorite of these movies. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. No, that's the one that makes the most sense anyway.
Even though I first, my age would make me first realize about 2, I rewatched them like, yeah, 1 is way better.
Yeah, that's true. The first one is much better.
Favorite song, favorite movie, favorite product? Coca-Cola, Starbucks, or chips?
Chips. Just chips are always going to be top for me. Like any type of chip. I don't really drink soda, and I drink a lot of coffee, but I'm kind of getting off coffee right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I don't drink that much coffee or like double shot kind of thing. And Coke, I'm kind of weaning off because I get sick. And chips can be healthy.
No, they can't. But anyway, you could just get baked chips, but they're not going to be that good. All right.
Like it always says, Lay's, it just has like 4 ingredients. Okay. So
All right.
That's our show.
So that's the end of our episode. So make sure to watch these ads online. They're really funny. No, they're not that funny, but they're fine. And they're enjoyable to watch. So just watch them and listen to us. So thank you for listening to us. Make sure to subscribe to us on any of your preferred podcast platforms. Share with your friends. And you can talk to us on Instagram and Facebook as Retro Ad Review. And I think that's it.
I'm
going
to put my radio voice on too. I think I could do these with my radio voice on too now.
Hey, what's up? Well, goodbye, everybody. The jingle's probably on.
All right, folks, thanks for listening, and we'll see you with the next batch of ads. Bye.
Bye.
worst jammed-in movie parody ever.